This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When ordinary people think of autumn, they imagine shorter days, cozy fires, curling up with a great piece of literature, and basking in the warming scent of cinnamon with shades of burnt orange, which your other half has decided to spend the life savings on to decorate the home for only 2 months, just as God intended. Yet we must remember that this transition into the frosty abyss of winter creates the perfect conditions for the spread of the pathogen known as Halloween. This disease causes people to dress like demons and go door to door asking for free stuff. This public service announcement aims to give you the correct tool to help you deal with these contagious commie behaviors when they manifest in your local community. First, you'll want to arm yourself with multiple shots of the best-selling paperback on Amazon called The Nephilim Looked Like Clowns. With this PPE, you're fully equipped and well protected to handle what's to come next. Second, have a pumpkin spice latte and white girl autumn your time away in knitted cream shackets and pilgrim hats, because soon enough, Samhain begins. This is when the veil between the spirit realm and the physical world is at its thinnest, and possession, the main symptom of Halloween, is more commonly presented, causing this type of unironic cringe to start happening. Just look at him. This poor soul thinks he looks cool. And if you're not careful, this could be you. Together we can stop the spread of Halloween and flatten the curve. When you see fully grown adults playing dress-up and mirroring unspeakable horrors from beyond the void, remember your training and cure their vapid sense of self-identity by handing them one of our favorably reviewed treatments. Your country must develop herd immunity to seasonal cringe. So, spread the cure far and wide. Just like The Cure, this disease does not discriminate by age. Emulating the infected, you will see children running around in bedsheets, knocking on doors, begging for sugary treats, and threatening to damage your well-earned property. Make sure to fill their novelty buckets with the one thing all children secretly want: a well-rounded and relatable education in biblical history. That'll stop the spread. The Nephilim look like clowns, and the inevitable boost of volumes are currently the only known cure to thinly veiled demon channeling holidays. This is your best defense against this pandemic of spooky proportions. All you have to do is trust the science. Which you know we did, because I'm showing you people wearing lab coats and looking serious. Get your copy on Amazon today, and be prepared for tomorrow. Side effects of reading that Nephilim look like clowns include, but are not limited to, a feeling of existential crisis, a well-rounded knowledge of a Christian contrarian view on human history, a foundational understanding of spiritual warfare, and a healthy aversion to clowns.
Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. It is Wednesday evening. It's time for a live Q&A. And yes, this one, as you can tell by the thumbnail, is a last-minute slap together with no title. Probably not going to be that long Q&A because I've just come off another podcast, the Unrefined podcast, for a Nephilim Looked Like Clowns discussion. And it was good. It was good to go back to my roots. You know, it's been a long time since someone's asked me to come on to talk about the Nephilim Looked Like Clowns. And I was retreading some old ground, you know, throwing some new things in there while I was at it, discussing the second book. And I think that's going to be available in podcast formats maybe in the next 4 weeks or so on the Unrefined podcast. But also, they've kindly given me permission to upload it to my channel as well, maybe a couple of weeks after they publish theirs too. So it will be coming to you guys eventually. But that's where I've been. That's what I've been doing since 9 p.m. It's now 11 p.m. for me on a Wednesday evening. And I thought I've just got to jump on and have a quick Q&A with the boys, with the guys, you know what I'm saying? So here I am, we're good to go, get in your questions, no theme, everything's, well, let's just go for it, whatever you want to talk about, we can talk about, nice and easy, we're taking it easy. Just a few announcements, I still do have some copies of the Nephilim Look Like Clowns available, hardcover for signed copies, so if you want to get yourself a signed copy of this book, you can email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I can get that out to you. I hope you enjoyed the revivification of my old advert, which I created for last Halloween. I think it's just as prevalent today as it was then, and it's good to be able to dust the old thing off and actually use it in these shows again. I had a lot of fun making that one. I hope you have a lot of fun watching it. The Christmas special will get re-released again. Maybe in November, back end of November, maybe we'll start using the Christmas one, eh? Or actually, no, after Halloween. As soon as Halloween is over, I'll start using the Christmas advert as well. So you've got that to look forward to if you're new to the channel. Those have been around for a long time will know exactly which one that is. And I need to make some new ones. You know, the audiobook was good fun to make, don't get me wrong. I did like the dramatic cinematic effect I made for that one. Maybe I need to crack out a few more of the old Nephilim Look Like Clown parody adverts just for good fun. But yeah, guys, it's one of those days. Like I said, I just don't have time to like pre-plan this show. I have no presentation this time. It's just raw. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk. Some good news, though, that I randomly, my work on the Nephilim Clowns has gained vast popularity over the past week or two. It's been spread far and wide. Some of my old videos are going viral again, years after being published. And somebody who runs a channel called Woodward TV, and if I can share the screen with you guys here so you can see this for yourself. Let me just go to the channel first, so, and we'll just pause that. They have just released a new video based on my work, which is, wow, incredible. Look at this. So this is Woodward TV. They have almost 500,000 subscribers. They've got, as you can see here, if I scroll down a little bit, 482,000 subscribers. Isn't that incredible? I've never actually heard of them before, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. But they made this video here, what the Nephilim really looks like. And they basically gave an extremely glowing review to all of my work, plugged me endlessly throughout, told people to come and subscribe to my channel, and basically gave a quick 60-minute summary of a lot of my talking points. And that has brought, in the past 21 hours, a lot of extra people, which is incredible, absolutely amazing. And it's good to see that the message, the work is spreading far and wide and inspiring more and more people. It really is. So that was good. That was nice to wake up to today. Some good news. I'm very happy about that. So yeah, go check his video out if you haven't already. I gave it a quick glance and it was quite good, quite fun, quite well put together. And yeah, seems like we could be friends. Maybe I should reach out to him and get him on the Truth of Therapy Session podcast as well. If you are listening, thank you for that. And thank you for believing in the work. It's wonderful. So there we go. That's something that happened to me today, guys. What's going on with you? Talk to me in the chat. I'm going to hop in now, see what's going up. Woodward was always pretty based, says Wendy. Fair enough. I literally don't know. I don't think I've ever watched the guy's videos. Maybe I have. I mean, I've been doing this for like over a decade, 14 years, maybe 11 years. I don't know. I've lost count, but maybe I have watched one of his videos at some point and I just completely forgot. But yeah, I'm going to have to go check out more of his work now just to see what's going on. Woodward TV, best intro music ever, says the Jesus Clan. We're down. There we go. Glowing reviews of Woodward TV from this channel too. I was looking at the comments and people were like saying, like, my favorite channel watches my favorite channels. Like, I thought that was quite fun. It's nice to hear. Paul, where do you think the land of Nod is that Cain was banished to? We got our first question from Space Mike here. Is there any chance that Cain is in the dream world or the same place the Nephilim are, the land of Nod? That's interesting. Well, I don't know specifically where the land of Nod is. I just know that's where the first city he built was, which was called Enoch after his firstborn son. Who knows if he had any daughters first? Who knows? So, yeah, I mean, where could that be? Who truly knows? Who can actually honestly say where the first city was? You know, Enoch itself in the land of Nod. We just know it is a place that had a name. So it was already established, and he built a city, which tend to need people to fill them and people to build them as well. So there must have been people around, is what that infers as well from that tiny little passage we have. But I'm afraid, Space Mac, I have no idea. I like your theorizing, though, the idea that perhaps it is like the DMT dream realm of some kind. But I think from the story we can deduce it was a physical place where a real city was actually built, in which he based his work and flourished from and spread and built further cities from there when he went on his domination kick after being banished away from his parents, you know. So I think it might be a real place personally, but I do like the theorizing. It's good fun. Unaverage Joe. We need an overhaul of our political system/governments. As long as we have Republican Democrats, which is the black and white duality issue, we'll always be quarrelling about stupid foolishness. That's true. Yeah, the left-right, blue-red system is everywhere. We have it in England too. It's always the Labour versus Conservative, which is your Democrat versus Republican, basically. It's basically the same thing, give or take. The problem is now Labour has been seen for the fascist, socialist, dictatorship, liberal lunatics that they actually are now, and they have been responsible for. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Everyone's seeing through it now, and also conservatives are just as equally, basically the same as Labour, and have destroyed our country as well with all the times they've been into power, and they have conserved absolutely nothing of the old country that we love and are nostalgic about here too. So I think both those parties are lost in the next election in 2029, and I think something's going to happen. And we have, you know, everyone feels there needs to be an overhaul of the government, don't they? And we all feel it here too. Everything has to change. And lo and behold, we now have a party literally called Reform that's probably going to win the next election. Something completely different than we've ever had before with our two red and blue based parties. Now we're going to have a purple one called Reform. So that does not just seem like the perfect Freemasonic synthesis of the blue and the red come together to create change, which we feel like is actually unique and organic, when really it's just the phoenix rising out of the ashes of the chaos, isn't it? I think it's all orchestrated and planned, and a real mix-up would involve not participating in the game. And I don't feel like there's enough people awake enough to fully do that, politically speaking. Yeah, unfortunately, I just don't feel it. I don't see it. I have hope for those who are awake to be able to see through the illusions, but are there enough of us awake to actually implement real political change in that respect? We're probably still a minority on that front, unfortunately. Hey, Paul, how are the kiddos and the wife? Well, Lindsay, the kids are fine, chugging along. My firstborn is turning 4 soon, very soon. And my secondborn is 1 in a month and a bit, so that flew by. They're going through a bit of a, stages and phases and changes where sleep is impossible right now for the second born baby, and I feel bad for my first son because he's having to listen to his little brother scream while trying to get to sleep, and it's just because they share a room because we have a small house because this is England, and so we're kind of going through all that right now, and it's stressful for us, and we're going through all the usual guilts and ups and downs and things you usually go through as parents.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Knowing whether you're making the right choices or dealing with situations as well as you should be, and getting stressed and angry and trying to calm down and all those things in between. And I guess we're just going through typical family stuff. But other than that, we're okay, except it's the end of the year. And as I explained in the last podcast, it's hell at the end of the year for me and my family usually. Everything goes horribly wrong. All the demons come out and start attacking us from every direction for reasons I just can't understand, other than it's October. And that just must be what happens during this thinning of the veil season. And we've certainly been going through all of that, haven't we? And that's it, really. That's it. I'm chugging along, doing my thing, letting it roll off my back as best I can, like a duck, like water off a duck's back. And I'm just trying to be here and keep doing what I do for you guys as best I can. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. God is allowing this information to spread, says Jamel Simmons. A theory that would have been unthinkable 15, 20 years ago is clicking in everyone's minds. Yeah, good. Good. I'm glad. Armored Rasmus says, approved questions only. Yes. That's right. I get to choose what questions I answer, believe it or not. Who can think of such a thing? But yeah, I get to choose. Orangutan monkeys could be literal wild men, orange hair and everything. I often link rays and skates to Castaneda's Valadores. Maybe Araldix was onto something. What do you think? No, I think the wild men were a very specific species of hybrid human monster giant descendants from the Nephilim, basically. No misinterpretation needed. That's my opinion. My third grandchild, first granddaughter, was born on Tuesday. That's incredible, Justin. Congratulations. It's a blessing. Nate X, it's hell always. That's true. Life is a fight till the very end, isn't it? That's true. I would like prayer for my son again, family. He's got his next operation on his heart, October 30th. God wants us in Boston to pray over that wicked city. Thank you, says Rusty. Well, Rusty, I'll keep your son in my prayers. Absolutely. Heart surgery. Yeah, I bet. I hope God brings you the peace you need in this time, and I'll pray that he does. I know it can be rough. I know. As said wife, I'm stressed. My wife heard that one. We're stressed. You can see it under my eyes. You can see these lines here. Look at these wrinkles that are appearing. I am going grey faster than I wanted to. And my hair is now thinning at this little section up here a bit more than it already was. I am aging rapidly. And it's the kids. It's the kids' fault. I swear down. I guess it is what it is. Can you talk about the significance of Seth and his bloodline in relation to countering hybrid bloodlines? Yeah, so while Seth's bloodline remained relatively unscathed, but then the sixth generation from Seth was Jared, and then that's when it seems like Cain's lineage on that side gave the daughters to the Watchers in order to create the Nephilim. Kind of like birds of a feather flock together. The enemy of my enemy is my friend situation. And I think the Watchers and Cain were on the same side about corrupting God's creation, and they created the Nephilim together. And I think it wasn't long before all flesh was corrupted. So even Seth's lineage from that side got absolutely decimated until Noah. Noah was kind of the last uncorrupted from there. So, you know, in terms of perfect lineage, well, that's where Noah comes into it, isn't it? That's it, really. And Noah was then the progenitor, and his sons were the progenitors of all of mankind after that. But if Noah was the only one perfect in his generations, and even his sons would probably have some corruption in them. And that's it, really. I mean, that's the story as we know it. It's basic biblical history, isn't it? Pam just became a member. That's lovely. Bald is gross, says my wife. Well, I better not go bald then, or my wife is going to leave me, clearly. Bald is based. I don't know about that. I'm kind of attached to my hair. I like my hair. I really do. If I ever see a Nephilim, I'm fighting so hard. Amen to that. Try your best, you know. I mean, when God sent Israel into the lands to take them out in Canaan, they did it. So it was, well, they did a good enough job. They failed in the end. But yeah, they managed to take out giants, so they're not invincible, that's for sure. David and Goliath is a classic story, you know. What else have we got here? We appreciate you, says Lindsay. Well, that's nice. Thank you so much. It looks like I got a super chat from Robin Rucci. You have changed my life. You woke me up to the truth. I have no words that can tell you how much I thank you. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad my ramblings in some way have helped you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the super chat as well. Thanks for being here. Let's scroll this down. Let's catch up with the chat. Let's see what's going on, shall we? I'm losing the chat. Look into David's mighty men. That's a trip. He had 11 lion-faced men from Moab, and did his bidding. Yeah, well, the lion-faced men won't be Nephilim. They'll be humans who corrupted themselves just before and after the flood through genetic manipulation. So they're just human, the mutant humans. So I won't class them as Nephilim specifically. I think there's a big distinction to be made between them and the Nephilim personally. And I've made that clear in the book. I've always talked about that distinction. I think a lot of people get confused and think, well, some Nephilim must be good because David's mighty men. It's like, those are not Nephilim. Those are humans who have mutated themselves. So I don't count them as the same thing personally. And I don't think their salvation is necessarily in jeopardy either. No lie, the first person I talked about the Nephilim like clowns, I had a nightmare and sleep paralysis. I felt something was angry at me that night. Spiritual warfare is real, man. Full armor of God, no fear. You have authority over these things, and never forget to reclaim that authority and use it. Third channel coming, understanding comb-overs, says Dan. Oh, Dan, you and your humor. That cuts deep. That hurt. Yeah, that really hurt me. But you're right. Yes. Longer hairstyles suit me a lot more than shorter hairstyles for this reason, as you can see. But the weird thing is, I know, this widow peak, as it's called, I've actually always had it. You can look at photos of me as a teenager or even as a child. I've always had a really deep M shape here, and like my head has always been like this. It's just starting to thin a tiny tiny little bit here now, maybe because I've been doing this too much or something, I don't know. But I've actually always kind of had that widow's peak. It's just the way my head's shaped. So I've always had to kind of have hairstyles, even as a child, that were longer to kind of just not make my forehead look absolutely massive. But yeah, as I'm getting to 33 now and going into 40, obviously, this is just inevitable. It was going to happen, you know. But I think if I was going to go bald, usually, from what I've seen and friends who have gone bald and lost their hair and family, it tends to happen early. Usually people lose their hair by about early 20s, mid-20s. If it's going to happen, that tends to be when it happens. You know, if it's like full hair loss type stuff. But I'm going to get the normal aging, receding hairline thing, I think. I think that's where I'm. That's the way it's going for me. And, you know, so be it. If I can't control it, then whatever. Why worry about it? Not a question, but I was reading about Roman mythology and the similarities between the Golden Age dwindling to the Iron Age mirrors. Mirrors the Bible perfectly of the Garden of Eden to the times of Jared. Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I like that. Good observation, Rusty. What's my wife said there? He got away from me then. He's going grey because he's not ginger. I only married you for your beard and I shaved it off. How dare I? Yeah. It'll come back in no time. It's already come back quite a lot from what I can see. Like, I can't control this thing. You got to take care of it. What is that hair? We're talking about hair. Noah's wife had Nephilim blood in her. She came from a tribe known to be giants, says Robert Christopher. Well, Robert, there is a book called The Book of Lamech of Cain and Leviathan, which is only got released in 2019 from the Vatican, supposedly. And if you read this book, it's quite a horrible story of just how disgusting it was living in the time when the giants were around. Just at the end of the season. I think it's like the seventh generation from Cain, and his daughter, Lamech's daughter, is Namar, the wife of Noah from that story. So Namar was from Cain's lineage in that story. And she was the eighth generation who did not bear the mark of Cain anymore. And the mark of Cain was specifically porcelain, white, vampiric, deathly skin in that narrative, in that story, if you want to take it for what it's worth. And she goes on, is like a proper, she's like basically whoring around with angels and giants and everything, and like basking in the enormous phalluses and bathing in the things that come out of it. You know, I mean, really graphic, horrible stuff is in that book, you know. And she was basically, she belonged to the streets, is the best way to describe Namar in that book. And she goes on to marry Noah and be the mother of future generations of humanity, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, well, you know, take that for what it's worth. Maybe is that how the corruption came through to the other side as well? Who really knows? Who truly knows? There's many theories on that, many, many theories. And that's just one small side project theory, if you want. I've just heard that. Just thought it was interesting you were making that connection to Namar being corrupted in some way. Hey, Paul, thoughts on the three-eye Atlas nonsense, says Minnesota Brett. I'm watching it closely. I've made a couple of videos on that already, if you're interested, and I've kind of already gone through it in some live shows. I'm still watching just to see how this pans out, to be honest, but right now, currently, I think this could be the thing they're using to trigger the fake alien invasion. I know maybe it's a wild take to say this is it, but they've got to do that agenda at some point, right? They've got to do it sometime. They've sunk billions into the propaganda to make us believe aliens are going to turn up at some point over decades upon decades, even a century of time of brainwashing and media control. They have been pumping out alien propaganda and brainwashing and preparing the masses for an alien invasion because they plan on faking one eventually, right? And how many tests with the technology do they have to do? How much propaganda do they have to do before they finally push that one forward? And suddenly we think we have visitors from interstellar space here to teach us how to ascend to their level or something. I feel like it's soon, and maybe this three-eye Atlas is the thing they're going to use to continue that narrative. But fundamentally, anything that's coming from NASA and their telescopes and what they're telling us is going on up there and how we should interpret what we can see through our own telescopes is bullshit because it's an enclosed system. So I don't believe any of it to be at face value what they tell me. I think they are going to use this as the catalyst to start the fake alien invasion, more likely if it does come to that. And they have the Israeli Avi Loeb astrophysicist out there, you know, propagating that idea to the masses and getting people kind of pre-programmed ready for that eventuality too. So I think this could be it, if not a beta test for the next thing, you know. How do people gauge it? If we officially start hinting that there's something strange about this object from space and it could be aliens, and even scientists are saying it, who are credible and known, how would the public react to that? Maybe we'll just test it a little bit and then this round we're like, oh, it turned out to be nothing, you know. But next time, we already have a good idea now of how the public will generally react to this type of thing. And what if we get more scientists to approve it and save it? And it's that slow introduction of the idea and the concept, so when it does finally happen, we're already pre-programmed and ready for the eventuality, and we our reactions are more easily controlled rather than reactionary and wild and unpredictable. They can predict outcomes and reactions better and prepare for them and guide them more clearly and emotions more clearly through the media. So I feel like there's a long game here. They've been doing this for a long time, you know, since that broadcast of the War of the Worlds over the radio in like the early 1900s, you know, 1900s, listen to me, in the early 20th century. So I think it's coming. I think it's going to be interesting how they play this one out, because it defies all convention, doesn't it, through iAtlas? It's behaving how things should not behave. Its tail's going the wrong way. It's emitting the wrong gases. It's got a fleet following it, apparently, and the activity surrounding this is so strange. And it's
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Producing its own carbon, and it's behaving in ways that are defying typical physics as we understand it. Could it be a consciously controlled vessel of some kind? Yeah, I don't know. Sounds like a good Hollywood script to me. We'll see. Do you think there could be a connection between AI and those who choose to fuse with smart tech being cast into a firewall and Lucifer being destroyed in a lake of fire? Interesting. Very interesting. I think the transhumanist agenda is a bit of a stretch, I know, he says as well. Yeah, okay, well, you know, I think the transhumanist agenda, just like the alien agenda, has been going for a long time. And I do think the elites of the world really do want to try and live forever, which is why there's such a push for this technology to reach the singularity and master the ability for consciousness to be transferred into a machine, giving immortality to whoever can do that first, you know. And I think the promise of that happening has been given to the people through spiritual means. I think a lot of this is communication with spirits and demons who are teaching them how to do this and giving us that type of technology. With the promise that ye will be as gods. You know, the lie from the serpent in the Garden of Eden. You'll live forever. You'll be immortal in these indestructible bodies that will never decay, that are far more advanced and powerful than your crappy fleshy body right now, you know. Harder, better, faster, stronger, all that kind of stuff. But I think that the big trick is that consciousness cannot be transferred. The lie is that you do this and you'll be able to. from whoever gave them this information and technology to go ahead with this idea. And the lie is, if you transfer your consciousness, you'll just be killing yourself in that moment. It's you're just killing yourself. You just die. This is my long... I've been saying this for years. I think when that comes, when they promise you can upload yourself into a machine and you're watching people do it, you know, and you watch this person sat in a chair, they put the thing on his head. It probably won't look like that. I know, I'm just roll with this for a second, you know, use your imagination. They put the thing on the head and some guy's on a computer going beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 enter, you know, behind him. And you see him, like, he starts vibrating, shaking, and then suddenly he just drops like this, you know, like his body goes lifeless. And the next thing you see, the screen flickers behind, and an avatar of him is suddenly there. And he's like, where am I? You know, and he's like, and then the guy speaks into a microphone. And he's like, you're now in the machine. You've officially made it there. Just stay put. We're now going to transfer you into a robot body, okay? And everyone's watching, like, look, he's there, he's alive. His consciousness is in the machine. Wow, look at him. And then suddenly he switches off and the robot turns on and he starts speaking like the man that everyone knows. And he's like, okay, you know, I've made it, guys. I'm here. Look, I'm in the body. We've done it. We've finally done it, you know? And we're like, oh, this is incredible. Sign me up. Quick, hook me up. Get me in the body. Quick, let's do this. I'm 98 and about to die of liver cancer. Quickly put me in before it's too late, you know? And all these people who do this just dead, just keep dying. And everyone who's watching is thinking they're being transferred into a new body, so they go and do it, but they're just dying. And the thing that they're looking at is AI, recreation of the original individual, acting as though it's the person, because everything about their life has been uploaded into the machine, and now you can get this convincing simulacrum of the original human, convincing the onlookers that consciousness is being transferred, but it's just one giant con. They're just getting a bunch of people to kill themselves. And wouldn't that just be perfect? Isn't that exactly how Satan and Lucifer and the evil controllers would play it, right? And then judgment. Those people who are dying are going straight to judgment for what they've done. Searching for immortality by any other means than the free gift of immortality God has already provided through his son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And in death, you will be resurrected and you'll get to live on the new heaven and earth for eternity. You know, that's a promise. That's a God-certified promise right there. And you just didn't have enough faith to take him at his word. And you thought you could do it yourself and live forever on your own. You can't. You can't. Consciousness cannot be separated from the body. God created Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into him through his nostrils, you know, the breath of life. He became a living soul. The body and the soul are one. You cannot have one without the other. They're not this thing you can just separate from one another. You are a living soul, and then you have a spirit as well. And that spirit, you better make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Because if not, something else will be in there guiding you and being your conscience, you know, essentially, in some metaphysical sense. But yeah. I think that's the long game with AI and all the rest of it and smart tech fusion and all these type of things. I think it's going to go hand in hand with the illusion that you're going to be able to advance yourself and become like a god. And that's probably going to coincide with the aliens who suddenly appear and give mankind that final technological boost to get there, you know? It's all going to be one giant mankind taking control of his own evolution narrative that everyone believes is really happening for real now, and mankind's finally going to lift themselves out of the misery of existence and become like gods, as we should be, you know, thanks to the new alien brethren who've come to teach us how to pull ourselves out of the primordial ooze we crawled out of once we were stopped being fish and became fish with legs. But all that stuff, all that propaganda, all that programming, all the evolutionary theory all coalesces together into this final ridiculous narrative that mankind gets to be like a god through technological human convergence or something, with the help of alien brethren who already did that. You know, the Borg turns up and says, you know, come join us, join the hive mind collective, you know, become one with machines like we did and live forever and explore the stars. It's just a giant lie from demons to make humanity literally willingly kill themselves without realizing it, you know. That sounds like a giant cosmic joke, some kind of joke a demon would pull on humanity, doesn't it? Bit of a stretch, though, I know. To quote Jamal there. Oh, no, gingers don't go grey, fight it. Well, I'm not ginger, so I'm going to go grey. That's what's going to happen. Opinions on Gnosticism and Eric DeBay's video that Jesus is a story based on ancient mythology. Gnosticism is bullshit and Eric DeBay is wrong. That's my opinion. He's going grey because he's not... There's my wife backing me up. Thoughts. Everything negative happening so fast right now. The bad guys losing control. Maybe. Maybe, Ernie. You could be onto something there. I'm not going to lie. I know it can seem pretty bleak sometimes when the men, the people in control have all these plans, you know, and they have these agendas and they own all the resources and they're doing all this stuff. But at the end of the day, they're humans and they're flawed and man makes plans and God laughs at the end of the day. They're not really in control. God is in control. And it could be that they've lost control. It really could be. Like, I'm not going to at all rule that off the table. And it's interesting. I do want to bring this up because Connor kind of mentioned it in his last live stream himself, and I thought it was really good. And I think he called it "It Ain't Your Granddad's Deep State" or something like that. And this ain't your granddad's deep state. And he was talking about, you know, the back in the day when the top hat wearing, cane using, you know, fat cats in top hats ruling over all the industries back in the 1800s, you know, and the late 1700s were around. When the real Illuminati builders and Freemasons were rewriting history and controlling all the people, you know, all that kind of stuff was going on, creating the original deep state. He was saying those men were not like the rulers we have today. Those men were deep in the shit with the workers. Everything was terrible. Life expectancy was short. Like, they were right there next to the factory workers, you know what I mean? Not, maybe not working the factories and the cotton mills and the rest of it, you know, but they were there in the cold with them, you know what I mean? Making sure everyone's in line and working, watching everything themselves, dealing with stuff, dealing with people, you know. Today, the grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, you know, who are now in charge today are weak. Compared to these old rulers, these old school bankers and rulers, you know, like the original Rockefellers and stuff like this. And you got these today, you get these really old, like 90-year-old ghouls who are ruling all these industries still, who have these long-term Freemasonic secret society agendas for the New World Order, that they have these grand plans. But they have sired children who are spoiled degenerates who do not know how to take over the plan. Like, they have a very short-sighted, pathetic, weak, self-centered, narcissistic, inferior, lazy children that they've had, who have had everything given to them because of the excesses of their wealth, to the point where they're just spoiled brats who don't want to take over and continue the agenda, or when given the reins of power, they're just going to fumble it and mess up and ruin that, like, 2,000 years worth of planning that their forefathers had built, because this ain't your granddad's deep state anymore. These are weaker men, weaker, more pathetic, more dumb individuals running these industries now than what used to be in the past when they were really in it, you know, in the thick of it. And I thought that was just an interesting concept. Like, maybe they have lost control because the people who are taking the reins of the conspiracy, of the agenda, are useless, don't know what they're doing and don't know how to continue this. And it is perhaps going to start falling apart now because of the excesses of their gluttony, shall we say, and their pride and their hubris. You know, get out of my way, old man, it's my time. And it's kind of like they don't know what they're doing, they haven't got a clue, they've not trained properly for this, they didn't pay attention, like when their fathers were trying to teach them where they are, into who they are in society, and what their role is to continue this agenda against humanity, you know, and to maintain the power structure and the order as it should be. They were like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to go to Dubai and have a party and go speed this race car fueled on cocaine and hookers. Like, they just weren't paying, just weren't getting involved. They're just absolute degenerate idiots, you know. And that's why all these old people are still in power and their children haven't really taken over, because they can't. And maybe it is all going to come crashing down when these giant, powerful 13 bloodline Illuminati families have a breakdown in the chain of succession because of this. Interesting to think about it. Interesting thought experiment from our perspective. And it's kind of like, you know, they had all these lofty plans, but they never once realized that their own progeny would become a victim of their own success. And it stops with them, type of thing. It's interesting. It's an interesting thought. I like the idea. I like the idea. What's your favorite low stakes conspiracy? Says Space Mike. I don't have a low stakes conspiracy necessarily. Everything's high stakes in the real conspiracy realm. But my wife did show me that there is, I think his name is Shane Ward. Am I wrong in that? It's Shane something. And he has a YouTube channel where he's like conspiracy hunters or something like that. I don't know, some name. And it's not really conspiracies as we do it. It's not our conspiracies. Not even like this. He basically broke the conspiracy that Chuck E. Cheese don't chuck away pizza that people leave behind. They save them and then put them all together to make a new pizza out of the leftovers and then give that to the next customers. And he apparently broke that wide open. That's a very low stakes conspiracy, isn't it? There's an example of one I can think of off the top of my head. Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese conspiracy. They're reusing old pizza to save some money and cut margins. That's a very, very low stakes conspiracy I can think of. In terms of our world, the real conspiracy world as we know it, I'm not sure what the lowest stake one would be. Can I get back to you on that? Can you give me some time to think about it? I'll see what comes up as we go. Who knows how the show will end? Maybe something will come to me. Or maybe I'll come back at it with the next one. That's a good question. That's a really good question there, Space Mac. I appreciate that. Let me just carry on. The Cocoa Puff conspiracy. I don't know that one, unfortunately. Chuck E. Sleaze, says Zentaler. I like that one. I saw Mutton Man on another live somewhere else, and even he got kicked off that one. I don't know what's going on there. Is the chat going off the rails? How are my moderators doing out there? Because I can't keep track of this chat, to be honest. I'm losing it. Everyone's saying hi to each other. Marcus, good to see you.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Still poisoning our food, water, air, earth, says Justin, etc. Well, yeah, well, I mean, that's why I'm saying there's no real low stakes conspiracy when you actually get to grips with what's going on. It's all high stakes. What if Gnosticism isn't BS, though? What if it's more nuanced Gnostic Christianity like Aragorn? Aragorn isn't Christian. is he? He just knows God. Is that a Lord of the Rings? You talk about Aragorn from Lord of the Rings, like the Return of the King stuff, like symbolism for the hero's journey, making an equation with him being the returning Christ from the dead, with the army of the dead at the end. Is that what you're trying to say here? Look, man, get your head out of fiction is all I'm saying. Like, Gnosticism is a parasite that latches onto every religion and Gnostifies it to be basically Buddhism with a new religious veneer. So Gnosticism is basically just Buddhism with a Christian veneer. That's basically what it is. Or Taoist, Buddhist, Eastern philosophy with a Christian veneer. Doesn't matter how I describe Gnosticism, every Gnostic is like, nope, that's not real Gnosticism. They're always nudging that goalpost back, and you can never define this thing because it's supposed to be nebulous and airy and all over the place and make no sense, because that's how they create their religion to control people, basically. The truth is, Jesus Christ came to die for your sins, and he resurrected from the dead. It was a real event that actually happened, and through him we can get to the Father, okay? Like, and there is no other way to the Father but through him. Okay, that's very clear from the basic Gospels, which the Gnostics would say, oh, that's not really what Christ was talking about. So even they say the Gospels are true, but he was being symbolic that we are all Christ and we just need to reach his type of consciousness, and then we can be as gods in our own way, you know, and then we can transcend out of this plane in death and not come back into the soul cycle that the demiurge wants to keep us trapped here, and then start adding all this nonsense onto it. Christ didn't say that. He didn't say the only way through to the Father is by becoming just like me. He said, no, through me is the only way you're going to get to the Father, through my sacrifice alone, not by becoming like me. He makes that very clear. And it's only through basically not reading the Bible can you think anything that the Gnostics have to say is true. It's not understanding the source text or actually reading it that causes these misinterpretations to come. Gnosticism is just wrong. It's wrong, and it came way after Christ. If you look at the historical record, officially speaking, these are things that were invented maybe like 70 to 100 years after Christ, these type of thoughts. But it wasn't a new type of thought. It's just, like I said, a Christian veneer added onto Eastern mysticism. That's all it is. So no, it's bullshit. As far as I'm concerned, it's not. You cannot interpret Christ's words at all to actually mean what the Gnostics are trying to say it means. Christ isn't a symbol for the sun or the seasons or some oil that goes up your spine or anything like that. He literally is a real person that really existed, historically documented, well understood, who talked to people who are also documented and well understood in their own time, who was witnessed to have died and resurrected from the dead. Historically speaking, it's not just some symbolic story invented by Rome to control people. It's real. And if you don't want to go off the text alone to know that, you can have a real tangible personal relationship with him, and the Holy Spirit can come into your life and transform you into a new creature, a new creation, and your life can significantly get better very quickly, and you can finally have a conscience and know the difference between right and wrong. Rather than leaving it to your own opinion, the law will be written on your heart. It's a true supernatural experience that you can have, and then you can know it's true. And that's all I can really say on that. Gnosticism is a lie through and through. It's the same lie told in the Garden of Eden. Ye will be as gods, knowing good and evil. Just get this knowledge, man. This knowledge will set you free. It's like, no. Christ's sacrifice is the only way to the Father. Only through him. Not becoming him, but through him. He holds the keys. He is the one that decides if you have access or not. And you just really want to be, you really don't want to be one of those people. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. That's scary. That's the only thing you need to fear. They can't implement all they planned and succeed It will know, prosper, love the content, came across your channel on Woodward TV, says Copper. Well, there we go. Thanks for joining me. And again, if you get a chance to speak to Woodward before me, tell him I say thank you for the shout out. I really appreciate it. Well said on busting the nonsense. Yeah, I call it nonsense with a G. That's exactly what it is. As I journey through Enoch, the veil around the flood and the old order keeps tearing, and I see why they work so hard to silence it. Thank you, says Parallelogram Yosef. Well, yeah, the Book of Enoch is fascinating. There are some later Gnostic iterations with Enoch, second and third Enoch, which then start to really blur the lines and change things. But if you stick to first Enoch, I think that's probably your best bet. And that seems to be corroborating with scripture pretty solidly. You seem to have a narrow-minded interpretation of God and Jesus, says Jack Talcott. No, I have the pretty basic understanding truth of the knowledge of God and Jesus. It's not like a narrow-mindedness. It's just what the text tells you it actually is. And you think you're special, do you? You've got a broad-minded sense of Jesus and God. Well, your Jesus and God can be anything then, can't it? Narrow is the way to salvation, if you find it. You know, if you want to make it broad, great, as a path to destruction, go for it. Many early Christians were Gnostic. Not a lot. Not as many as you think they were. No, there were Gnostic sects, which were anathema and wrong, which Paul warned against, like, as bad interpretation and not true. Just because some existed doesn't mean they were right. Like, what are you talking about? Thank you for your conviction, Paul. I used to think all those silly things about Jesus, but it really is as simple as he came to die for our sin and iniquity. Yeah, Gemma, the gospel is simple. It doesn't require any extra steps or third act twists. Oh, it turns out God was evil all along. Like, it's not like, no, that's just, it's preying on people's desire for special knowledge, basically. People's pride, fundamentally, is what Gnosticism is hinging on. Sounds like Roman Gnosticism to me, bro, to control slaves. Like, whatever. Do you know why the Pharisees and Sadducees are so well known, but the Essenes are not known hardly at all? Well, they were just the main characters in the story at the time, I suppose. But people who do the studies know about the rest, you know? That's all I can really say about that. Tolkien wrote a sequel after Lord of the Rings that blends to our time, Secret Societies, but he stopped. Yeah, that probably makes sense. Like, Tolkien definitely knew a thing or two, but you can only live so long and write so many books. Gnosticism appeals to the ego. Basically, that's what I came to. And look, I don't say this because I'm ignorant. I say this because I was there for a long time before I finally realized the truth, you know. It does appeal to your ego. That's what it really appeals to. It is appealing to that sense of secret knowledge and arcane wisdom that puts me a step above everybody else. And those profane Christians out there who think it's a literal story, well, what do they truly know? I see through all that nonsense. I'm smarter than those idiots. It's really, 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 really disgusting. And you're certainly not acting Christ-like, even by your own standards, if you think that's what it takes to be like Christ. You know, it's bad. It's not a good look. People say God's flood was him being evil. When I bring up how they were corrupt, they ignore me, says Good Enough. Yeah, well, the flood of Noah, I've covered it in the book extensively, and I've tried to make it abundantly clear what living in that time really was like. And believe me, that flood was extremely justified when you put two and two and two and two together. You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, it's real. Like, it was rough, it was horrible, and I completely understand God's decision to hit the reset button, shall we say. Like, it was not an evil, it was an act of mercy. We wouldn't be here today if that hadn't have happened. Humanity would not be here today if that hadn't have happened. Take the wife out on a date, love you both, says Wendy. Oh, thank you, Wendy, I really appreciate that. We'll have a nice night in with some grilled cheese and fondue or something, with some biscuits, and maybe watch a movie. Thanks for that. But with two kids and a very small village, I'm not sure if we can afford it, if we can get a date night or babysitter, to be honest. But thank you anyway. We'll definitely treat ourselves to that, Wendy. Did someone say nonsense? That's a selling t-shirt for sure. Does someone say nonsense? Yeah, I'm. Someone else said a good mug idea would be don't gaslight me. That'd be a good one, because I always say that quite a lot. I'm going to have to make it. Jesus and other religion just seems to be part of the Depop, not going to lie, says Mutton Man. Mutton Man, you're just wrong. I'm sorry, you're wrong. None of that's true. I don't know where you're getting those ideas from. It's just not true. I would ask that you bring Jesus into your own life. He died for you so that you can be with the Father. And it's a free gift of salvation. And I would recommend getting to know him and opening up the word and really understanding what he came to say and do. And not just assuming it's a control mechanism off the top of it. Because real Christianity is not really for control purposes. Like, not at all. Like, it makes no sense why people tried to kill them as well, because technically Christians would make the perfect citizens if Rome really wanted that. The problem is that those nasty Christians have a problem with always trying to tell the truth. And in a corrupt world, that makes you a bad person. So yeah, that's all I can really say. To love falsehood and do works of falsehood is just as much a sin as sexual immorality, murder, and practice of magic. Revelation 21:7. The Holy Spirit showed me it's a good thing to seek the truth. Well, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. What I really pray for from Jesus is I pray he grants me the wisdom to understand him and grow with him, as well as learn from him too. The greatest gift I could receive is the love of Jesus, says Azarin Sage. It is. It's a truly transformative experience, which I pray everyone gets to before the end. And it's never too late. It doesn't matter what you've done, how far gone you are, or you think you are, how unworthy you think you are. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter how you behaved or any of that stuff. All that matters is that you accepted the free gift of salvation and understood that it's his work alone is enough. And it covers your sins and everybody else's sins. And it will make you spotless in the eyes of God when it comes to judgment. And it has nothing to do with what you did or the works you did at all. Yeah, and you know, we're all sinners. It doesn't matter how bad any sin is over the other. I know from our perspective, it can seem pretty bad. Some people have done a lot of worse things than others from our perspective, and I get that. But your salvation is not between you and other people. It's between you and God. And none of us deserve it, which is how we know it. We have a loving God that he still gave us a way back to him, regardless of whether we deserved it or not. Take it. Just take it. That's all I could say. Spoiler alert, we're all worthy. Well, yeah. Yeah, well, in a way, it's kind of, we don't feel like we are. But God sees us as his son, as his children. And he wants what's best for us. And, you know, we've been wasting our inheritance and rolling around with the pigs. And eventually, some sooner than others, you realize, what am I doing? What have I left behind? Why am I here rolling around in the pigs when I was supposed to inherit a kingdom? And if you go back to the Father with your head down and you're humbly there, like, I don't deserve this. I squandered everything. I was terrible. I was awful. I wasted what my Father had in store for me. I took the inheritance and blew it all. And, you know, I stole his car while I was at it and drove it into a lake. And it's kind of, you come back, the Father's going to be there. And he's not going to, you know, he's going to be there with open arms, ready to give you what is rightly yours. You know, and he forgives you for that through his son, Jesus Christ. He's, you know, it's like, just come home. That's why any parent can understand this. Just come home. I find rapture theologically based, people tend to have lets it go to hell in the handbasket and wait and not do anything. Why worry about the evil done before our eyes? Christ is upon the throne. We should thrive to follow him. Okay. The rapture theology is definitely a passive ideology, I think. Definitely. It makes people passive. And it stops us from being the salt of the earth. And it also stops us from attempting to do any good in this earth, which as Christians, you know, we're called to do good things as well. Doing the good things isn't going to save you. Don't get me wrong. It has nothing to do with salvation. But as people who are born again in a new creation, in a world of sin and hatred and anger and envy and war and misery and pain, we can, from our position, bring some good and joy into the world, and that can only be a good thing. You know, and these are great works which the Father would only be proud of to see his children doing, you know, but it has nothing, but don't worry, you're still getting into heaven either way, you know, if you're covered by the, because Christ's sacrifice did that for you. And that's good news. Go and spread it, you know, and while you're at it, do some good as well. It can't hurt. But every time I try and say something like that, somebody in the comments wants to try and tell me, you're preaching a works-based salvation. You're preaching a false gospel. It's kind of like, well, tell me you've never done anything good with your time here without telling me you've never done anything good with your time here. It's like, if you feel convicted because I said, go and do something nice for somebody. Like, I think you've got more problems, mate, than you're letting on. Like, I think you've got an issue. You got an issue. Like, don't you want to help people? Don't you want to do good things? Don't you want to be set apart from a world where everybody's out for themselves and narcissistic and selfish? Don't you want to be set apart, as we're called to be, from the world and do the real radical thing, which is just treat somebody with kindness? What's wrong with saying and encouraging people to do that? Do you not think that's what Christ would want you to be doing? But no, you're preaching a works-based salvation. You're a false preacher. You're a heretic. What are you, some kind of Freemasonic shill? It's like, get over yourself and go out there and just do something nice for somebody already, you pathetic worm. Oh, no, I can't stand hearing that sort of nonsense. Sorry I got angry there, guys. I get angry sometimes. I'm human. I'm certainly not Jesus. But I try, you know, I try my best to do as best I can for people, you know. Alpha males like me can handle a bit of spice. Is God X hitting on Wendy? Is that what's happening here right now? Calling me a Jezebel for being spicy. What is going on? What have I missed? Well, I'm rambling on about nonsense. It looks like my moderators are being sexually harassed. Do I need to step in and do something about this? There's no simping in conspiracy, sister. Yeah, I've missed something here, haven't I? I've definitely missed something here. Okay, never mind. I'll ask the wife about it after the show, shall I? See what's going on. Anyway, guys, I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back for more questions. Maybe we'll go for another 20 minutes or something before closing this off. I'm going to play a quick song for you. One of my old songs I recorded maybe around the 2013, 14, 15 period. I actually forget. But here's one that was recording on an old dictaphone for you guys. It's quite pretentiously called I Know, because I couldn't think of another name for the song at the time. And while that's going, let me just quickly see what I can come up with here. We'll play this video. And we've got audio capture on as well. So here's a song of mine from the past. I'm going to play it for you guys now quickly. I just need to put my headphones in so the sound doesn't come through the microphone. Let me just make sure that's connected. Yeah, that's connected. So here's one of my own songs. Paul Stobbs original for you guys right now. And I'll be back in about... it's only 2 minutes long. And then we can carry on with the Q&A. So here it is. Thank you.
words I choose to get myself deeper into. I'm not gonna play, put your back into it. Let's end this new age high, pick good and new ruins. Who's gonna give you love when you place your pride above all the memories? It's not really that easy to see. It doesn't seem fair to me, because I know just what we'll see when we look through the glass. Things are exactly how it's supposed to be, and I know when we messed our souls into the machines of cavalistic control. But I'm not gonna play, but you're back into it. Let's end this new age high, be good and new ruins. Who's gonna give you love when you place your pride above all the memories? Doesn't seem fair to me, 'cause when I'm in Preston I might be selling pictures, and while I'm in Lincoln I'm thinking of a century. But it's so easy to believe all the double speak and that disinformation, that I'm not just gonna sit around, no, waiting for the times to change. 'Cause I know, I know, if things will only stay the same. So I say, I'm not gonna play, but you're back into it. Let's end this new age, I'll be good and new ruins. Who's gonna give you love when you place your pride above all the memories? Is it really that easy to see lonely minds asking me to spare diamonds in the hands of men who own the wrong islands?
It's just not fair, is it, guys? It's just not fair. It doesn't seem fair to me. I don't know. It's a really old one. I don't really know what I'm even saying in that video, in that song. I just don't like the new age stuff, so I threw that in there into the chorus. And this world is unfair. Pretty basic, to the point. Relatable. I think you, let me know what you think, if you like that song or not. I think it's time for you to release an album. Maybe I'll have to do a re-rendition of some of these old songs, maybe write a couple of new ones. It's been a while since I've dusted off the old guitar, you know. I just don't have time. I'm a family man. I'm busy. I've got bills to pay, money to make, nappies to change, you know. I've got naps to rock, and I've got stuff to do, you know. But I have time to hold the guitar and make music anymore. But I can certainly get nostalgic about my old stuff, can't I? So you're in for the ride with me, guys. What's going on then? So, yeah, it turns out Wendy is being sexually harassed. Do you want me to kick him out? Is it time? Is it time? Shall we get rid of the alpha male in the room who's making us all feel so inferior with his presence? Is it time? Should we do it? Or is it all in good fun? What's going on here? yay or nay. People in the chat, hit one for ban. If you're all in for it. That's all I can really say. What kind of bad is I missed the Book of Mormon, says Shelley Grace. Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not a Mormon. I can't be wrong. I haven't given you an opinion. It's all scripture based. I have no idea. Greg, what did you just say? I don't know what you just said and why you're saying that. I like it, but try singing Karma. No, Mutton Man, I will not try singing Karma. That's just the way I wanted to sing that song. Why didn't you write a song and sing it Karma instead? There you go. Where can I buy this song, says Travel Gal. I don't sell it. I haven't sold the song. Maybe I'll upload it to the Understanding Creativity channel. I'll make a quick music video for it. And you can always go back in there and have a listen every time you want to. How does that sound? We'll do that. You can already get New Age Hippie on Understanding Creativity. If you guys didn't know, I do have another channel called Understanding Creativity. It's here. If you go check this out, you can go and find all sorts of extra deep dives into all sorts of things, art world related and occult related and it's interesting. It's good. But also my own music is on there, my own original compositions and some artwork of mine is on there as well, if you want to go and check it out. And who knows, maybe that one will appear on there very soon. Who knows? Go and subscribe, find out. There we go. So I'm back. It's enough shilling for the other channel. By the way, guys, today, the 9th of October for me right now, it won't be for you guys. Thursday, the 9th of October, 8 p.m. I think it is UK time. The next episode of Occult Artist is being released on that channel. So go and check that out, guys, if you haven't already. If you saw the first half, go and watch the first half. If you haven't, it was fantastic. All about MK Ultra and the influence of musicians during that time, and how some of them may have been actually real sleeper agents used to assassinate people, and we venerated them as idols all along without realizing that they were just double agents and MK Ultra'd sleeper agents all along. It's really interesting, and the second half is coming out today or tomorrow for you guys in America, so go check that out, please. Apparently I'm in full control of this channel, so be careful what you wish for. Says the wife. I know, right? Yeah, like, the truth is, guys, I'm not actually in control of this channel. The real mastermind behind all of this is my wife Keely, and I am beholden to her, and everything that happens here is just, I'm just the front man for my wife, who's actually in control behind the scenes. I'm the fall guy. That's what's really going on here. Screw it, ban everyone. I got a few ones there, but not everyone's into the banning. No, he's harmless, so fair enough. Wendy herself has said that he's harmless, so I will not ban him, that's fine. And most of those ones were just Marcus. It seems fair enough. Don't know him. I don't know. Kick him now. Okay, ban hammer. Yeah, and one on Mutton as well. I'll give Mutton another chance to play it cool. But yeah, you know, if he keeps pestering for no reason or giving passive-aggressive criticism for no reason, yeah, I'll probably just ban him. What's going on here? Nate X, thanks for the super chat. I appreciate that. Understanding creativity is great. So I got a glowing review there from Lily Bell too. All right, guys. One last question. What have we got? Someone got anything to say, anything to talk about before we close this show off? I'm tired. It's 12:15. I do want to go to sleep. But I'm here for you guys. I'll do what I can for you guys. If anyone wants to just chuck anything out, anything curious on your mind whatsoever, I'll try my best to answer it before I reach the 1.5 hour mark. Give me the power, I'll ban everyone. Oh, the giant tree, I can't give you the power. You clearly will just abuse it. It ain't going to happen. I don't think Jesus was with all the banning and cancel culture. I haven't banned anyone, don't get me wrong. But also, I'm not Jesus, and this is my channel, and I will ban people if I want to. That is just the way it goes. People don't have the right to be here. This is England. We don't have free speech here. So I don't see why I should give it that to anybody else. your American rights mean nothing here. And this is England now. But yeah, no, if you're going to come in and cause problems, I'm just going to get rid of you. That's it. This is a no-nonsense policy. My moderators know it. If someone comes in and purposely derails the conversation or is offensive to people for unnecessarily or offers nothing of value but is spamming, you're gone. That's it. It's simple. I don't owe you anything. Yeah, you're not entitled to just come here and be annoying. Like, you're just going to get banned. So there we go. Jesus flipped tables and branded a cord to whip people. Brady, yeah, that's right. He did. He sure did. Anon question, where is the camp of saints? I don't know. I don't know where the camp of saints is. There's plenty of theories out there, isn't there? Somewhere in the north, maybe. That's the best I can come up with. I'm not going to go and encourage anybody to go anywhere and risk their lives necessarily for a theory or an idea, or perhaps looking at a bunch of old maps, which we don't really know who made those maps or what the purpose of them was or anything. I think we don't really know where the Camp of Saints is or what it is. Maybe it's symbolic. Maybe we're all the Camp of Saints together collectively as Christians. I don't know. Like, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend that I do know or speak with such certainty on things, to be honest. What I do know is the whole earth is Christ's kingdom. It's his. It belongs to him. And wherever you are on earth, you are in the kingdom of Christ. It's his. Everything is his and belongs to him. And you are all subjects of his kingdom. You just need to realize that and start walking in authority. Because even the subjects of the kingdom of Christ have power. Reclaim it. Take it. And walk uprightly in the kingdom of Christ today. You can do it right now. That's what he meant when he said the kingdom is within. That's what he meant. Now we need to understand the conspiracy behind the wife controlling, understand the conspiracy, how the infiltration happened. I don't know why I let her infiltrate me and my life. I just like her. I just let her do it. What can I say? JT brought the idea we could be rounded up in the end, making a camp of saints, but it was just a thought he had. Yeah, that's all we have on that kind of thing, you know. Leaving Babylon has the answer to where the land of Jesus is, so go and watch her videos. According to Miss Bravo, so there we go. Not the divine feminine, I don't know. No one has the answer, let's be real, says the wife, won't you? Lots of division energy today, y'all. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm not here to divide anybody. I'm just doing what I do. And if people want to baselessly accuse me and attack me of things, and that's on them to do such a thing. I'm just here doing what I've always done for over a decade, you know, and having fun while doing it and making disciples as best I can while I'm at it. Paul being adorable husband. You got honey potted, bro. man. It's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm heaven bent on doing God's will. Just me, says Nate. Well, no, you know, we all have our varying degrees of passion behind doing God's will. But I think we're all on the side of Jesus Christ and God here in the chat. And those who were not in the chat, I think they're Christ curious. I think they're a little bit Christ curious, which is why they're here listening to me. So let's see how that goes, eh? I think you're inspiring, says Dollface. Well, thank you. That's nice. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Yeah, there's no place on earth anymore which can be the special place in which the kingdom of God is. It's wherever you are as a citizen of the kingdom. Remember that, because it's everywhere. Everything is under his dominion. Everything has been given over to Christ. It is his domain. The inheritance of the Father to Jesus Christ was his creation, the kingdom, the keys to everything. Yeah, and Christ has stepped into his inheritance. So it's all his. And we are blessed that he has given us a way to be a member in his kingdom. Just, yeah, take it. Claim your authority as a subject of the kingdom of Christ today. Step into your role as a subject, a slave for Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. Even the slaves of Christ will be given many mansions and many rooms and the rest of it. You know, it's the best thing to be. It's like we were saying, I will gladly clean the toilets in McDonald's of the heavenly kingdom. Like, I'll make the McFlurries as long as I get to be a part of the kingdom. I don't care. That's an old one. What do you do for your water source, or what info you have on getting water free of bad stuff? I would think God probably wants us to avoid putting bad stuff in our bodies when possible, says Lumbago. Look, pray over your food before you have it. Don't fear food necessarily, you know. Count everything as a blessing that you even have access to pretty relatively clean water compared to what was available then. You know, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. But at the same time, you know, do everything you can as a precaution, I suppose, to clear any water of anything you can by just using the basic filter, basic water filter of any kind, usually charcoal based, you know, and mineral based, but you can remove most of it just by getting a basic water jug. And then obviously you've got the issue of BPAs and stuff, but then I think you can get copper versions of it, which might not have that. And you know, I'm not like the health guru type here, you know, that's I dabble, but I don't really, you know, that's not what this channel is, unfortunately. I don't want to give any medical advice or anything like that. I'm curious of buying, what I've seen advertised, a metal water filter which can go in the end of the faucet, as you would call it, end of the tap, and you screw it on and it will filter the water straight through into from source, from the tap, so you don't need to get like one under your sink or anything, and you can switch it to just run normally if you want to just fill the sink up to do some washing. But I don't know. I'm curious about those type of things. But right now, I'd choose a basic water filter jug, you know. And I try to. It can get very expensive buying bottled water in England. It really can. So this is how we can make our tap water more palatable. But in this world, everything's poison. So where do we turn? Where do we go, really? Like, if you want to be that paranoid, I would say perhaps prayer is our best way to make sure our food stays sanctified before we take it, before we eat it. Paul, I appreciate your content. It's helped me discover new paths in my truth journey over the past year, says Crispy Chicken. Crispy Chicken, I like that. Thanks for the super chat. I appreciate it. Past that I never anticipated. God bless you. Continue as the spirit leads you. You are doing wonderful work. Never heed the naysayers. Oh, I don't. Well, you know, I don't heed the naysayers necessarily. Like, but everyone knows I am partial to the occasional clapback. it's kind of what I do, you know. What have I missed here? Thinking and knowing are two different things. Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. Christians are easy to brainwash, not going to lie. Look how much pastors get away with. Yeah, well, that's if you want to get involved in churchianity, yeah, it's just as corrupt as any other institution on earth. I'm not interested in that game. I'm not a churchian. I'm a follower of the way of Christ. Do you think they were pre-Adamic people? Were they made in God's image too? I think God created man and woman and sent them out to procreate and have dominion over the earth and all things. And then after that, I think he created Adam from the dust of the earth and put him in the garden. And then after he named all the animals, he created Eve for Adam. So I think Adam and Eve were set apart from humanity for a specific role. But it does seem like the logical timeline narrative is that God created man and woman plural, told them to have dominion over the whole earth. Adam was created and specifically confined to the Garden of Eden only. So it does sound like there may have been people before Adam. It just logically. But I don't know. But it could be. And I'm okay with that. I don't think it's a big deal. And I don't think people should freak out over that concept when hearing it. God can do whatever he wants. Why does it matter? What's the problem? Like, realistically. It all got wiped out and reset when the flood came anyway. So what's your beef? Like, I never understand why people are not open to that concept. It's biblical. It's there. There's a precedence for it. And it affects them in no way whatsoever. So I've never really understood the pushback to that idea. Gary Wayne purports the same idea, and he makes a very compelling case in his book, The Genesis 6 Conspiracy. So maybe check that out and listen to some of his lectures on that, to be honest. Okay, thank you, says Shelley Grayson. You're welcome. Like I said, I don't have all the answers, but I've heard the theories and the ideas, and I know that is a concept and a possibility. What's your thoughts on the lion with the lamb, Paul? Are you talking about the Mandela effect? Is that what you're talking about? No, it's the wolf with the lamb. That's a whole other rabbit hole for another time, the whole Mandela effect. Maybe we'll go into that a different time, because I am reaching the hour and a half mark now. So I think I'm going to have to close this off, guys, and bring this to an end, okay? It's been good. The chat's been spicy. It's been active, and everyone, we've had some pushback. We've had some friends have been made, some enemies have been made, you know what I mean? And some feds have probably been around just checking us out and getting involved and causing some discourse here and there, you know, and then causing some problems as you naturally, as you do, you know. But yeah, thanks for being here either way. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for the engagement. Thanks for the questions. We had some good ones today as well. I hope you enjoyed my little song there in the middle. Sorry, this again isn't as flashy or as presentational as usual. I have just done a podcast visit before this show, so that's why it's not quite what it usually is. But yeah, it's been good, guys. Thanks for talking. I'll be back on Sunday with the Truth of Therapy sessions as usual. I am also having a podcast visit before that one too, so that may start a little bit later, perhaps 10 p.m. UK time, maybe around 6 p.m, maybe 5 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see what happens. If my children sleep, who knows. Thanks for all the generous support as well, guys. That goes a long way, more than you know. I can't do this without you. It's that simple, you know, and it keeps me going spiritually speaking as well as monetarily speaking. Yeah, it's good to know that what I do has some value to people. So I appreciate it and thank you. If you do want something in return for your support, you can buy a signed copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns from me directly. Just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I can mail one of these out for you. Or you can go buy a copy on Amazon or go buy a copy of the audiobook as well on Audible. That is available. Or consider becoming a patron where there's extra stuff on there. That is also a great way to help me as well. And there's always just PayPal too if you want to send a one-off donation. Yes, I think that's enough shilling for the end of the show. But again, thanks for being here, guys. I really appreciate it. I'll be back soon with more videos. And as always, God bless. Thank you.